From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Andrea Seabrook. A piece in the New York Times caught our eye this week. The author, Verlin Klinkenborg, was musing on an earlier report in the paper about fruit fly experiments. Those experiments showed that smarter fruit flies died younger than flies that didn't learn. Mr. Klinkenborg wanted to know, is there an adaptive value to limited intelligence? Or, as he wrote, is there a biological cost of our own intelligence? Now that is science way out of the box. The man behind the fruit fly experiment is Tadeusz Kowetski. He's an evolutionary biologist at the University of Lausanne in Switzerland. Thanks for being with us, Professor.
Good afternoon.
So, let me ask you this. Fruit flies that learn don't live longer. They live shorter lives. Did that surprise you?
Well, it didn't surprise me exactly because we have seen before that those flies that learn better are inferior in terms of competition for highly limited food. So there are apparently evolutionary trade-offs involved, and that presumably reflects some kind of cost of their investing in the development, the maintenance, and function of their brain.
Huh. So there's a cost to intelligence.
Well, that's how we interpret this, yes.
Doesn't this run counter to what we've been taught about evolution? I mean, don't animals that learn and adapt generally live longer? They're more fit?
Well, learning, being able to modify your behavior in response to novel situations is certainly advantageous in many cases. We are looking at learning and the ability to learning, having the machinery to learn well, as an investment that an animal makes. So the returns from this investment in terms of being better able to survive on when the environment changes, etc., have to be weighted against the potential costs.
So when an animal is in the wild, how is the ability to learn helpful?
Well, it can be helpful if the environment changes. So you can imagine for a fruit fly, the world is composed of odors and colors and patterns. So say odor A always leads to good food and odor B leads to a bad place, a danger or whatever. You don't need learning ability. Avoidance of odor B can be wired in genetically.
Instinct.
Like instinct, exactly. In contrast, if odor A sometimes means food and sometimes means something bad and vice versa for odor B, it pays to learn because you can benefit from gathering information, can benefit from experience.
Huh. And how is the ability to learn harmful in the wild?
Now, this can be answered at two levels. At one level, it might still be good, but not good enough to compensate for energetic costs of having a big brain. For example, if you have a big brain and the food becomes scarce, and it's so scarce that your big brain does not help you to find it, you might be the first one to die because you need more energy to keep your brain functioning.
Mm-hmm.
At another level, you can say that even the act of learning itself might not be very useful. So imagine that you are an antelope, and rather than having an instinctive fear of a lion, you are trying to learn about this. Is lion nice, or is the lion maybe neutral, or is maybe dangerous?
I mean, you find out pretty quick.
Right, but it will be too late. So relying on learning will not pay if the cost of making a mistake is too high.
Mr. Kowetski, can you extrapolate this to humans at all?
Well, at some level we can. It's clear that in humans, a relationship between longevity and learning, there has been an increase both in intelligence and in lifespan. So we're both smart and live longer than our nearest relatives, the chimpanzees. On the other hand, we can make sort of educated guesses about costs that our huge brains and our oversized intelligence have cost.
Mm-hmm.
For example, in pre-industrial conditions, death at childbirth was a significant source of mortality for women. And this would seem kind of strange for a for a natural process? Well, the reason, at least in part, is because the head of a human baby is so huge.
Yeah.
Because it contains this huge brain which is being developed. Despite of that, human babies are still born very underdeveloped. If we compare a newborn human to a newborn chimpanzee, there's a huge difference. A newborn human is totally helpless for several months, whereas a newborn chimpanzee can cling to his mother within a few days, which allows the mother to move around much more freely and gather food, etc.
Yeah, I've read that human babies, in fact, are born too early in some ways.
Right, that's exactly the point. Now, despite of that, the time for which the human offspring are dependent on their parents is, again, a record in the animal kingdom. We are so dependent on learning, accumulating all the information, that it takes so much time that we have to stay with our parents for maybe under natural conditions, so to say, prenatal conditions, it was, you know, 15 years or so. And in the modern society, may at least in Switzerland, it may go for 30, you know.
Tadeusz Kowetski is an evolutionary biologist at the University of Lausanne in Switzerland. Thanks very much for speaking with us.
Thank you.